Well, here we are, and welcome to those online who are joining us this morning, and we're glad you're with us. And let me just take a moment and share with you, because we're going to wrap up Jonah today, but let me tell you where we're going. At least, I'm going to do a three-week series next, and I was talking with the staff this morning about it, and my title is going to be Reconnaissance. And one of the things that we don't do probably as much as we should, and it's recon on our enemy. We got to do some reconnaissance to understand his tactics and his ways that he wants to take you out. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want to take 3 weeks, and I'm going to talk to you about, because reconnaissance, if you don't know what that means, it means observing and ascertaining information on your enemy. And we need to do that so we'll understand, because I believe he attacks us in three areas of our life. One is the mind, the other is the heart, and the third is our will, our actions. And I want to spend 3 weeks with you doing some reconnaissance from the Word of God and what it tells us about our enemy and how we can live in victory. Amen. Amen? So it isn't just looking at who he is. It's looking who God is, but understanding our enemy. Amen? So that'll be for 3 weeks coming up, starting in August. And looking forward to sharing that with you. But let's go to Jonah. We're looking at part four today. Today I'm really looking at God's love. It's to really understand God's love. Last week we looked at Jonah, where he obeyed the Lord and preached to the Ninevites. And incredibly, this wicked nation repents. They fast. They pray. They turn to God. It's incredible. This week, we're going to finish up the book of Jonah, and by the time, if you've listened to all four messages, maybe you've never read the whole book of Jonah, but if you've listened to every message, we've read through the entire book of Jonah. And so we're going to get right into it this morning, but I've got to back up to chapter 3 and the last verse. Now, you need to understand this. Scripture verses and chapters were all added for us for location of Scripture, okay? But when it was originally written, it was a letter. Now, the Psalms were broken up into songs, but not verses. But most of the retaining is just an ongoing script of what's written. And you're going to see that as we move from chapter 3 to chapter 4. So that's why I need to make sure you understand verse 10 of chapter 3. It says, when God saw what they did, speaking of the Ninevites, and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Let me just, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your mercy that you have not brought destruction upon our lives. But Lord, you have brought grace and mercy, and you do so to any and everyone who looks to you. So Lord, teach us today, I pray. Amen. So God had mercy on the Ninevites and didn't bring that destruction upon them. So now we move into chapter 4. And it says, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. Now you got to kind of wonder, Jonah, do you really understand what happened in Nineveh? I mean, do you understand what God did and the grace he poured out? I mean, if that happened in our world today and Jonah was the one who preached, and man, his phone would be ringing off the hook. People say, I need you to come for a conference. I need you to be here for a service, right? Because everybody would want Jonah to come. But Jonah's attitude was really not where it was supposed to be. Jonah just doesn't get the grace and the forgiveness of God. And in the next verse, we find Jonah praying once again, but this time with attitude, and it's not the right attitude. In fact, when the scriptures told us Jonah's angry, I want you to know what that word angry is in the Hebrew. It can also be translated evil or wicked. That's where Jonah's heart was. It wasn't just this fire within him, but a wickedness because he didn't understand God. He might have obeyed God, know that, but he had not dealt with his own heart issues. Now, what's really interesting to me is when God looked at Nineveh and saw they repented, or, you know, the wicked situation at first, it was God who was angry, right? Now, after they've received grace, it's Jonah who is angry. It just doesn't make sense. So we know that Jonah's not in a good place, and here he's going to pray in verse 2. Here it is. He prayed to the Lord. Now, wouldn't you think if we just stopped right there, that's a good thing, right? But let me pause for a moment and let you know, when you look at all four chapters of Jonah, you're going to see that Jonah only prays two times. The first time he prays, he's in the belly of this great fish with his back up against the wall. And the second time he prays is right here in chapter 4, and this time he's praying in anger. I have to pause and I have to ask and wonder sometimes, does this mirror people's lives? People seem to only pray when their backs are against the wall, or if they're hurting and angry at some situation, or even angry at God. And church, I want you to understand today, that cannot be the extent of our relationship with God. Our relationship through Jesus Christ with the Heavenly Father is much more than that. In fact, Jesus has come to do much more in our lives than to just rescue us from painful moments or to help us when we think we need it. Church, Jesus has come to give us life and to give it to the full, the abundance. So we cannot settle for a crisis-driven relationship with God. He wants so much more in your life, and that's why you ought to be praying every day. That's why you ought to pray in the morning. You ought to pray at meal times. You need to pray in the middle of the day. You need to pray at night. We should be worshiping and praising God in the good times and then remembering He is our help in the bad times. Amen? So keep praying. All right. Let me go back to verse 2. He prayed to the Lord. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, I want you to feel, though, the depth of Jonah's emotion and his passion and his anger. Listen as he goes on and says in verse 3, Now, Lord, take away my life. It is better for me to die than to live. Now, in case you didn't get his anger in verse 1, I want you to see where he's at in verse 3. Because he makes these incredible statements in verse 2, which are completely true, except it's Jonah's heart is where the problem is. Believe it or not, Jonah is angry that God forgave the Ninevites. And he's struggling to deal with it in his heart. The crux of the text of Jonah's perspective really is this: God, thank you for being patient with me, but I will not be patient with Nineveh. God, thank you for the second chance, but I would never, ever, ever give Nineveh a second chance. So here's Jonah's problem. Jonah obeyed the Lord by doing what the Lord asked, but he had not dealt with his own prejudice. In fact, in the passage, we find Jonah smack dab, I believe, in the middle of a great contradiction. In essence, what Jonah is saying, God, thanks for forgiving me when I ran away from you, and I really appreciate the second chance, but there's no way I could ever understand why you would forgive the Ninevites and give them a second chance. They should have been destroyed. In fact, in a moment, you're going to see Jonah sitting down and hopefully waiting for God to destroy Nineveh. Can I tell you something, church? It saddens me to know that there are people who call themselves Christians, believers and followers of God, who are just like Jonah. It's the Jonah in them. They want what God has for them, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the eternal life, but they don't want it for everybody else. And there's various reasons that people have. Some have been hurt by others, abused by others. And they cannot seem to understand how that person who hurt them could ever be forgiven. Or they're prejudiced against others because of who knows what. Maybe it started with a threat. Maybe it started with the fear of diversity. It could be that vile thing called discrimination, possibly due to social status. I didn't meet up to where they are. Or political positions, or race, or color, or any other reason that people could come up with. But understand this, being prejudiced is just the prejudgment of people. And we have not been called to judge people. And that's what Jonah's struggling with. It was his prejudgment of people, his perception of where they were and what he wanted to be done. He'd already said he knew that God would do what God did. He knew that God was compassionate and gracious and forgiving. But Jonah did not want that for the Ninevites. And therefore, people who are like Jonah, they struggle with forgiving other people. And for whatever reason, for whatever prejudgment that they've made up regarding those certain people, they want what God has for them, but they want to withhold it from others. Are you with me today? Do you understand our struggle? Here's the thing, church. We have to forgive. Everybody say that with me. We have to forgive. God has called us to forgive. And for us to live in the freedom of forgiveness that we can, we have to learn how to forgive, or we will end up living in bondage and bitterness. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, understand mentally, he had been abandoned, he had been abused, he had been lied about, he had been slandered. Physically, they had spit in his face, they had plucked his beard, he was struck on the head, he was beaten till nearly dead, and then nailed to a cross. And what did he do? What was Jesus' response from the cross? His response was to hang there and to look them in the eye and declare, in fact, here it is, Luke 23, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." In Mark 11, 25, Jesus hits this topic head on. And he says this, "When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." That's a tough scripture. Church, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we've got to learn to forgive unconditionally. It might hurt, and it might be painful, and it might make no sense to you, but it is what we have been called to do as we represent our Father in heaven. We forgive. Amen? Who is it right now maybe that you need to forgive? And I don't want you to let the enemy talk you out of living like the Word of God tells you to live. You've already heard it. The question is, are you hearing the Word of the Lord and willing to obey it? As you listen today, maybe you're the one who needs to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you're the one who has slandered or done something that you shouldn't have done, and now you're the one who needs to go and ask for forgiveness. If so, do it. church. Why? Because I want you to be people who live free in Jesus Christ, because we have been forgiven and we need to learn how to forgive. Now, sadly, Jonah wasn't interested in this concept. And so he stays pretty angry, and God looks at him and looks into his life, and God tries to engage Jonah in a conversation. Here's what God says in Jonah 4:4. But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" It's kind of like God saying, "For real, Jonah, I mean, over 120,000 people just repented. And you are angry? And you're bitter? Jonah, we ought to be celebrating over this." And we're waiting for the next verse that would say, "Oh God, you're absolutely right. Please, once again, forgive me and my arrogance," right? God's waiting for Jonah to respond, and here's the response we find in verse 5. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. It's like Jonah's not talking back to God. He's playing the quiet game with God, you know. Maybe he's just ignoring God. By the way, I would suggest do not ever ignore God. And I don't mean this to be disrespectful. I'm looking around. I don't really see a lot of kids with us this morning, but I don't mean this to be disrespectful to children. But Jonah is acting like a child about this. You know what I mean. Jonah is not getting his way. Jonah's not getting the answer from God that he wants. So he leaves the city, walks to the edge of the city, builds a cabana, pulls up the lawn chair, takes off his sandals, and then sits there waiting for God to hopefully he'll destroy the Ninevites. Now, in my opinion, there's a reason I'm not God, because if I was God there, I just caused a sinkhole to happen, and that would have been the end of the story. But God is compassionate and gracious, amen? And thank God for that. By the way, I want you to know that I believe God is full of some wittiness and humor, and I think we see it in this story. So this is what we continue to read in verse 6. Then the Lord God provided. Have we heard this in the story before? We have, haven't we? But today, I hope you'll learn a bigger lesson in this. So everybody say that with me, those first few words. Then the Lord God provided. Everybody say it again. Then the Lord God provided. Okay, I want you to catch that, because the Lord is doing something. Church, you have to understand, God is still on the scene, and he is providing what is needed. That's important. So watch what God does. Then the Lord God provided a what? Leafy plant, and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. Now I want you to notice, God cares about the small stuff. Jonah's hot, and God gives him a plant so Jonah can have a little comfort. And listen to Jonah's response. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. Is that interesting? But at dawn the next day, God what? Provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." So here's the picture. God loves Jonah. Know that. Jonah, I know you're hot, you're discontented, so I'm gonna make this vine, this little big leafy plant. And then the next morning, God provides a grub, a little worm to eat the plant. And then, okay, Jonah, I'm not only do that, I'm going to send this scorching east wind. By the way, you thought it was hot earlier. Now you're going to find out it really is hot. So much so that Jonah grows faint. But once again, we hear Jonah's emotional response, it would be better for me to die than to live. Let me make a very simple point here. Jonah is not content. He's not very excited about where he is in life. And that brings up a question to us. Are you content and excited about where God has you in your life right now? A lot of people tend to not be content with what's going on in their life, whether it's their marriage, their career, the decisions they've made, whether it's parenting, or especially the way the coronavirus has disrupted everything in our lives. And that's where Jonah is. Things are not going his way, and he's not happy about it. Has anyone ever read, there's a book called Alexander and the Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day? Did anybody grow up reading that? All four of you. Okay. You're probably teachers. I'm going to read just one page from it. One page, here it is. It says, I went to sleep with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair. And when I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on the skateboard. And by mistake, I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was running. And I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Anybody feel like you've had one of those? And we probably all have. But here's my point. We need to learn to be content. And know that God is with us every moment of every day. And listen to this, providing for us. No matter what we feel is going on in our life. We'll read it again. We just need to learn to be content. And know that God is with us every moment of every day, providing for us no matter what we feel is going on in our life. You need to know that God is going to provide for you. Now, he doesn't always provide what we want. But God does provide what we need. And so sometimes what he provides is meant to get our attention. God knew what Jonah needed. Sometimes God sends a plant, and sometimes he sends a worm, and sometimes a scorching wind. Why? Not because God is uncaring, but because God knows what is needed in our lives to draw us closer to him and to his heart. And I know that people love to serve God when he provides the plant. They're happy. It makes everything seem like it's going well. But we all also need to serve him when he provides a worm. Amen? Just maybe God's wanting to develop maybe patience in you, maybe endurance in you. But what you can know is that God is wanting to grow you and make you into the man or the woman he has called you to be. Amen? So, Jonah was happy about the plan at one point, but now he's not happy again. And God tries to engage Jonah again in verse 9. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. A key point here about the whole book of Jonah. I want you to catch this. For Jonah, it's all about Jonah. It's about his prejudice. It's about his plan. It's about his comfort. And now in chapter 4, it is about his life or his death. And he says, I want to die. And the anger this time is all because of a plant. Jonah's got some issues to work through here. And in the midst of all this, God is trying to teach Jonah a lesson. And honestly, we never really know if Jonah learned that lesson or not. We're never told. But that same lesson comes to us today in hopes that we will learn that lesson. And here's the lesson, verse 10. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. Verse 11. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh? By the way, who made the people of Nineveh? God did. In which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals. Basically, God is saying, Jonah, life is not about you. Life is about people who are lost. People who do not know their right hand from their left hand. People who do not know the difference between right and wrong. It's about people who do not know who I am. People who have resources and gifts and, that could be used for kingdom purposes and for good. But they're only concerned about themselves. And God says, I want them to know real life. Church, we live in a world where marriages are falling apart. Children don't have moms and dads. People are struggling with who they think they are. And most of that happens because they think life is all about them. Church, life is not about what we want on this earth. Life is about the kingdom of God. Life is about what God wants to do in and through our lives. We have surrendered. That's what real life is. And it just doesn't seem like Jonah could get that message, but you can get that message today. But to effectively live like God wants us to live, we have to learn how to forgive. Amen. Worship team, would you go ahead and join me? There are many scriptures that speak to forgiveness, but first, I believe you need to understand that God does love us and that God does want to forgive us. Listen to 1 John 1:9. If, catch the first very word, there's a condition. If we confess our sins, what? He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What he did for Nineveh, he will do for you. Secondly, though, understanding first, we can be forgiven. Secondly, we need to learn to forgive. I want to read a passage to you from Ephesians chapter 4. It says, verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. The reason Paul is writing this is for us to get rid of all this stuff is because it comes from an unforgiving heart. Where do you think bitterness comes from? And rage and anger and fighting and brawling and slander and just maligning people. It comes from an unforgiving heart. But church, do you understand our hearts have been invaded by the Holy Spirit? When we asked God to forgive us, His Holy Spirit moved into our lives to begin to guide and direct how we think and how we act. And so verse 32, Paul goes on and says, let me tell you how this happens. Verse 32, this is the way we live. Be kind and compassionate. Does that sound like God? To one another. Forgiving each other. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. Church, God put us on this earth so we could know Him and then share Him with others. Why? By representing Him and representing His hope so that everyone would repent. Second Peter, he writes this from Peter's perspective, who had all his own mistakes. He comes to this place and says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Church, that is the heart of God. And it is for every soul. Maybe you've never asked God to be a part of your life. Maybe you've never asked Him to forgive you and be Lord of your life. But you need to understand, some 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son Jesus to this earth, and He died on a cross for you and for me and our sin. He was placed in a tomb, but 3 days later, He rose from the dead, and our King is alive. And the Bible says anyone who calls on His name and puts their faith in Him, they will be saved and will have eternal life. And today, if you will confess your sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive you and purify you. He'll become master of your life. And today, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I'm going to ask everyone, would you just bow your head and pray this with me? Let's all say it together. Heavenly Father, I put my faith in Jesus. I believe He died for me. And I believe He is alive. Forgive me of my sins. I choose to live for You. So fill me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So church, I praise God because anyone who may have just prayed that sincerely before God, let me tell you, there's celebrating going on in heaven. And we ought to live that way too. Why? Because we're not prejudiced. We don't prejudge. We leave it to the judge of all time. And we just tell them of His compassion and His love and His mercy. The church, you need to walk in your own forgiveness. God has forgiven you. Don't let the enemy lie to you. We're going to talk about this for a few weeks now, because he is the father of lies. And he'll lie to you and say, God cannot forgive you of that. Learn to walk in your own forgiveness, because a lot of times it's out of our own mistakes that we judge others. But if you know you're forgiven, then you can do part two and begin to forgive others. Let them go. Don't bear it. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. Why? Because He cares for you. Secondly, could you live content? Wherever you are, and whatever's going on in your life, God, I know You're there. You know what? He promises He will take you through. And lastly, please don't miss this part. God loves every single soul. Don't ever refuse the gospel to anyone. Don't think they may not be ready. You let God deal with that. You just tell them about a compassionate, gracious, loving God. Amen? That's how we live. Would you stand with me? I'm going to quickly pray, and then I want us to sing a prayer together. But Heavenly Father, thank You. Lord, may we not have Jonah in us anymore. We remove that attitude and that misunderstanding. God, You have forgiven us, and we say thank You. And Lord, I pray You will walk with us and help us every day, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. want you to lift this as a prayer. It says, I will build my life. Come on.
I will build my life upon
your love.
It is a firm foundation.
And I will put my trust.
Will put my trust
in you alone.
In you alone.
And I will not be shaken.
And I will not be
shaken. Sing it again. I will build. Around me, God, lead me in your love. Why? Because I know where I have built my life. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the story of Jonah. Lord, we bless you for the word of God that instructs our lives and leads us in the way of life everlasting. Lord, help us to lead others. In fact, just so that everybody in our world could know you. Use us, God, to represent you well. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. Have a Jesus-filled day.